It's a new year. We have resolutions. Some may not have resolutions. Some may be still where they were last year. All hope is lost. This episode will be focusing on all the people that I've mentioned. Welcome to Deeply Rooted. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. I'm your host, Sina Zakos, and we are back. 2026, Happy New Year, everybody. I know a lot of you guys have been wondering when we are coming back, and this is us officially back to Deeply Rooted. Welcome. And something over the holidays was laid in my heart before I kick off the episode, our very first episode of 2026. And that something is the importance of praying before we start any discussion. So just a short prayer. I'm just going to say a short prayer, and then we're going to delve right into our topic of discussion today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you do not change. You are who you were 2 days ago, 3 days ago, decades, centuries ago. You're still the same God. You're going to continue to be the same God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you through Christ. Thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive mercy in time of need. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us your word. You've given us your word to heal us. You've given us your word to lean on and trust in and live by. And we pray, Lord God, that as we will dissect your word, that it has its full impact inside of us, oh God. As we kick off the new year, may we not do it by ourselves, oh God, but may you go with us, may you go before us, and may you straighten every path in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everything that will be shared today, may it have your hand upon it, oh God. May it impact those that it needs to impact in the name of Jesus. May we not be the same again after this discussion. May you, oh Holy Spirit, be in our midst over and above everything. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we pray. Amen. So welcome again. Welcome, everybody. If you're new here, I welcome you. And if you're a regular, thank you so, so much for your unending support. 2025 was an amazing year for Deeply Rooted. And I know and believe and have faith in God that 2026 is going to be just as amazing and even greater. We trust in God for great things this year. So as I said in the intro, it's a new year. And we are in different places. You know, a lot of us might assume that because it's a new year, everyone has the same outlook. But it's not like that. You know, some of us are back at work. Some of us are back to school. Some are where they were last year. Maybe some are without jobs. They're unemployed. Some are probably experiencing grief, grief they didn't experience the previous year. But no matter where we are in life, we still have the word of God, you know, and that's what I'll be basing today's topic on. You know, the fact that it's a new year, the fact that some people are losing hope, the fact that some people are really hopeful and are full of faith and have new habits. And I'll be talking about all of that, but under the topical discussion of God's promises, you know, because as I said, one thing that we have is the word of God, and the word of God doesn't change. You know, the book of Isaiah chapter 40 states it clearly that so many things, basically the verse, you know, I think it's verse eight. It focuses on the fact that the word of God doesn't change. Basically the main point of the scripture is to highlight that everything changes, seasons change, but the word of God does not change. And this will be very important, guys. As I continue with the episode, you'll understand the significance of why I'm saying this, right? So Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Meaning seasons have changed. Maybe you're not the same person you were a year ago this time. Maybe you're in a new year, you're hopeful, you've started a new job, or you're back in your old job and you're started a new school or back at your old school, or maybe all hope is lost in your life. And that literally signifies seasons changing in life, you know, and everything changes. We also change. We grow, we become different. But in the midst of all of that, the word of God doesn't change. This chapter, this specific verse in Isaiah highlights the fact that his word doesn't change. So, meaning where God made promises in his word, where he was described to be in a certain manner in the word, that hasn't changed, you know, because also the book of Numbers chapter 23 makes it clear that when God has made a promise, he doesn't switch up on it. You know, let's just look at the book of Numbers. It's a very well-known scripture. I'm sure you guys have heard it. I'll just read it quickly. It says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Has he not spoken, and will he not bring it to pass? So that's very, very important because it highlights that the word doesn't change. That's what I highlighted at the beginning, that the word doesn't change, and the promises in the word do not change. Where God made promises, he doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. You know, what he has spoken will happen. Eventually, it will happen. And even God himself does not change. So if he was faithful to you, if you've seen the goodness of God, if you've experienced God's love previously, he still is that loving God even right now. No matter how your situation looks like, no matter what you're trusting him for this year, maybe you're nervous, you're not sure how it's going to turn out. But if he's a God who's faithful, if he was a God who was faithful to you, if he was a God who was, you know, powerful and able to move mountains, if he was a loving father who's able to comfort you in the past, he still is that. Because also, he says in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not, you know, consumed. Meaning, one thing, the first thing I want us to focus on as we speak of the new year, as I speak to these different groups of people that I've mentioned, people that are back at work or a new job or a new school or back at their old school, or those who are hopeless and who are trusting God or who have trusted God and now they just don't know because things are not looking up and they just don't know, you know, how to trust God going forward. The first thing I want all of you guys to keep in your mind is that the word of God does not change. Isaiah, as I read at the beginning, says, you know, the grass withers, but his word stands forever. Meaning also the promises contained in the word of God do not change. You know, he's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should change his mind. You know, and he's not a God who changes. He does not change. If he was faithful in the past, if he was great and mighty and was able to fight for you in battles in the past, if he was a loving father who comforted you in the past, he still is that God today. And you can still experience him as that God today. So as the year commences, I want us to hold on to the promises of God, no matter how hard it may be. Let's say maybe you've held on to the promises of God for years and nothing has changed for you. And maybe you are someone who has seen God show up for you in the past, but you're not sure if this year it's going to happen because your dreams are way bigger and you're more ambitious this year and you're trusting him for so much more this year. I just want everyone, no matter where you're at in life, please hold on to the promises of God. This is what God has laid in my heart, that as the year commences, hold on to his promises. Don't let go of his promises, you know, because they do not change, because his word does not change. What worked back then still works right now. What he spoke, he still speaks it today, because he's not a God who changes his mind or changes his words, you know. So hold on to his promises. And when you hold on to them, hold on in faith. Don't just hold on because, okay, yeah, it's written, whatever. But hold on in faith. Have faith. Dare to have faith. I dare you today to have faith in his promises. You know, because the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, for without God it's impossible. I mean, sorry guys. For without faith it's impossible to please God. Right? Without faith it's impossible to please God. And I'm taken aback to December, rather. And something that Jesus revealed to me when I was praying for a friend in December is that every time when Jesus was going to heal someone in the Bible, he first applauded the person's faith. For example, he would say, daughter, your faith has made you well. He would express being impressed by the person's faith, that, you know what, over and above everything, what made this happen is not necessarily because you held the hem of my garment, you know, for the woman with the issue of blood, or it's not because you begged me that I healed you from your blindness, but it was your faith that I will do it and I can do it, you know. So have faith in God's promises. Have faith in His promises. Hold on to God's promises. And as you hold on, have faith. And you know, Atne, having faith is not to impress God only. It's not to please God only, rather. But it's also to help you. It's also to help you keep going, you know, because sometimes life gets so heavy, guys. It gets really, really heavy to the point where you just don't have any hope that things will change, and things just overwhelm you. Situations just overwhelm you to the point where you're just like, you know what? It's just pointless, you know. But when you have faith, when you have hope that this thing is going to change because God's word has said this and God's word doesn't change, then that's able to keep you going every single day of your life. You know, for example, proof of this is Psalm 27, you know, when David wrote this psalm, right? Psalm 27, verse 13. I just want to read it quickly, guys, right? So David says, "What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living?" So that's Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14, right? "What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living?" Right? Meaning, what kept him going is the fact that he believed, and he eventually saw God show up for him, you know. So sometimes what keeps us going, guys, what keeps us from being, from falling apart or from breaking down or from just any destruction is believing that God will do it. Sometimes faith is literally the glue that keeps you together from falling apart, from being down, from being out, from being overwhelmed. Faith is literally that for us. And God is moved by faith. As I said, you know, a few minutes ago, that when Jesus was about to heal someone in the Bible, he applauded that person's faith. And that showed what is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So God is extremely pleased by our faith, and faith also helps us to keep going, you know? So it's extremely important to have faith. And sometimes I understand, guys, that having faith is not easy, you know? Having faith sometimes feels like a waste of your time because you've had faith for so long. For example, I'm imagining, guys, the woman with the issue of blood. I'm sure we all know this story. You know, this woman had this condition for 12 years, but when she heard of the man Jesus Christ who was healing people, she dared to come close to him and hold the hem of his garment. And that's when she received her healing, because when she held that hem of his garment, she did it by faith. She did it believing that she's going to receive her healing just by being close to him in close proximity. And Jesus said, what actually healed you is your faith, right? So no matter how long you've been in a situation, her situation was 12 years, and it only took one step of faith. It took one day, one step of faith to end 12 years of pain. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're trusting God for, no matter what ambitions you have for this year, what aspirations you have for this year, bring them before God. Hold on to God's promises by faith. Go to God, hold on to these promises by faith, you know, and ask him to help you have faith, guys, because sometimes faith is really hard to have. Sometimes it gets tiring to have faith when you don't see anything happening. But when, even if you don't see anything happening, I mean, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, right? So no matter what you see in front of your eyes, believe what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says that we should walk by faith and we should believe God's promises, we should believe that God is working in the background, even if we can't see it yet. You know, one thing that the Holy Spirit reminded me of this morning is the fact that life has seasons. There's a season to sow where you sow in tears and you cry before God, where you sow in faith and you trust God, even if you can't see anything. That's the season of sowing. And whatever season we find ourselves in life, You have to sit in it. You can't skip seasons, because that season of sowing is very important, because it will be much more important when the next season comes, which is the season of reaping, right? So the season of harvest, where now your prayers are being answered, where now you're seeing the results of your faith, where you're seeing God move, where you see your healing, where you get a job offer. So life has seasons. That's another thing we have to remember, that life is not always going to be the same. But when we struggle to have faith, we should ask God to help us. Because, for example, in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 24, this particular guy says, "Yes, Lord, I believe, right? But please help my unbelief." So basically, this guy wanted healing for his child, right? And Jesus asked, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And then he said, "Yes, Lord, I do, but help my unbelief." And I like this guy's honesty, because he acknowledged that maybe there could be something that could cause me to not believe at this particular moment, right? But if there is something that is preventing me from believing, whether that's being tired, whether it's the fact that it's been years and I've been in this situation, no matter what it is, God, help my unbelief, right? So that's the same thing that I'm also saying to you guys, that if you're struggling to have faith, if it's hard and you feel like your dreams are too big, ask God to help you. You know, when you see scriptures that say God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask, think, or imagine, ask God to help you believe those things. Ask God to help your unbelief. Ask God to help your lack of faith. And God is able to do that and turn around your heart posture so that you are full of faith in the waiting and in the trusting and in holding on to his promises. So hold on to his promises, guys, and remind God of his promises. You know, I read a very lovely scripture today in the book of Isaiah chapter 62, where God was basically, if I can just put this into context very quickly, it was a time where the nation of Israel was experiencing a lot of destruction. They were in exile, and there was just so many things that were not going good in their lives, you know. And in that, God literally appointed watchmen, so people who will pray and intercede, right? And God said, "I want these people to not stop praying. I want them to be persistent and remind me of my promises, because I've promised to restore Jerusalem, even in the midst of what you're seeing, even in the midst of destruction. But I've promised that I will restore Jerusalem. So I've appointed these people so that they pray and they're persistent in praying and they don't stop reminding me of my promises." Let's just read it quickly, guys. So it's Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7, right? So it says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth, right? So it literally shows that God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to remind him, right? Because that shows that we have not let go of our faith. We have not let go of depending on him and knowing that he is the one who can make these things happen. He is the one who can save us, who can deliver us, who can heal us, who can literally show up in our situations, right? And another example that shows that God does not get tired of us reminding him of his promises is the parable of the persistent widow, you know, where Jesus was basically explaining to the disciples that this widow was in, you know, a situation where she wanted justice, and she would go to the king daily, without fail, until the king was like, "Okay, you know what? This woman is really persistent. I'll just make this happen," right? And the lesson out of that entire, you know, parable is the fact that we should be persistent. We should be persistent. We should knock. I mean, Jesus says, "Knock and the door will be answered to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find," you know. So it's extremely important for us to remind God of his promises, that, "God, you said in your word, you heal the brokenhearted, you bind up their wounds. God, you said in your word, if you take care of the sparrows, then you will surely take care of me, because you know what I need," right? "You know I need a job, God. You know I need healing, God. You know that my family is not saved and I'd like my family to be saved. And you said that it is your will and your desire, God, that everyone comes to know the truth and comes to salvation and be saved." So remind God of his promises. Don't get tired of reminding him. And don't ever think that he gets tired of hearing you pray about the same thing. You know, if you're praying with sincerity, he's a God who literally appointed watchmen and people who pray to pray, you know, and to keep asking God persistently. And I mean, there's a verse in the book of Thessalonians where Paul also echoes these words where he says, pray without ceasing, right? Pray nonstop, pray until something happens, you know. Push, keep pushing, press on, you know, no matter how hard it is, remind God that, God, you said in your word says this. So, Lord, I'm reminding you of what you promised me in your word. You said that you'd bring me healing and you heal the brokenhearted, you bind up their wounds. You said, God, that you're a God who provides all our needs according to your riches and glory. You said that you take care of those who depend on you. You take care of us and our needs, you know. So literally remind him when it comes to heartbreak. For example, let's say you're sad, you're experiencing loss or grief or whatever it is. Remind God of those prayers that you've made to him, that, God, I'm broken. You know, I've experienced this. I've experienced that. People have done me dirty. I've seen all of these things, traumas in my life. But you, God, said you heal the brokenhearted and you bind up their wounds. You know, I remember last year there's an episode where I was speaking of grief and pain, and I explained a revelation that's so powerful and touching that God showed me during a time when I had accidentally cut my thumb and I was bleeding so heavily and it was so painful. And I immediately wanted a bandage to cover myself up, right? And when I found the bandage, I covered myself up and I was able to continue using my hand. And the only time I would feel a bit of pain is when I would unbandage myself, basically, if that's a word, right? And when I would unbandage myself, that's when I would, okay, try to nurse the scar or the wound and put on, you know, Vaseline or whatever is needed to just make it feel better, or rubbing ointment. And then I wrap it up again with the bandage and I'm able to face day-to-day life as if there's no scar that I'm facing, right? So that's how God explained he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Meaning, although you're wounded, although you're in pain, God is able to bind you up so much that you're able to face the world. You're able to go to work. You know, you're able to show up and be effective at school, at church, in your family, as though you're not scarred. Because God, while he's healing you and doing the deep inner healing work, he has you bandaged. You know, your wounds are not out there in the open for everyone to see what you're going through. You know, so remind God of those promises, you know. And one of my favorite parables, well, it's not a parable, it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, basically using sparrows and birds as an example, you know, in the book of Matthew chapter 6. He says, I mean, look at the sparrows outside. You know, they don't worry. You'll never see a bird worried about what it's going to eat or what it's going to wear. But God takes care of them. And then Jesus says, how much more will God not take care of you? Are you not of more value than birds and sparrows, right? You are so much more value. So God knows your needs and he will take care of you. And I got another beautiful revelation a couple of years ago about that particular passage in scripture, you know, because it says, don't worry about what you will eat, right? And eating, God showed me that it represents sustenance, right? Anything that makes sure you're sustained or get money or get anything that will make sure that you eat, right? A job, employment, or a business or whatever. Don't worry about that because God knows that you need that. Don't worry about what you will wear. And wearing, God revealed to me that it represents covering. It represents comfort. It represents the people, you know, that you are yearning for God to give you, whether that's a potential companion, whether that's a friend, whether you want community and you want those people close to you. God says, don't worry about that. I know that you need that kind of comfort. You want to be clothed, right? You want people to cover you in prayer, in company, in good company. And don't worry about what you will drink, because that's also another part in that scripture. And then God showed me that what you will drink is refreshment. It's what gives you rest. It's what, you know, makes sure that you're refreshed. And that represents also rest. You know, it represents rest. It represents, you know, being at a place where no matter what's happening in your life, you're able to be level-minded. You're able to be calm, you know. So God knows exactly what you need. And he will provide each and everyone of those things, of those needs, you know. So whatever you do, just to summarize everything, pray according to God's will, and God's will is found in His word. God's will is basically what He wants for us. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to live in abundance. He says in the book of John chapter 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the devil's plan, basically. He wants us to be stressed. He wants us to be frustrated. He wants us to be destroyed, basically. He wants us to engage in behaviors that will leave us destroyed at the end of the day. But then the same verse says, but I have come to give you life and life in abundance. So God wants us to be in abundance. God doesn't want us to be in lack. You know, otherwise there wouldn't be parts in scripture that say that God will provide our needs, you know. So God knows all of these things. God wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to walk around broken and hurt and scarred, but He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds, you know. And whatever the kind of wounds they are, whether it's physical wounds, whether it's sickness, no matter what it is, God is able to heal, you know. He's able to heal. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. You know, the Bible, it describes Him as that, as the God who heals us. So no matter what it is, no matter what you trust in God for this year, whether you have big dreams, whether you really want to show up at work, hold on to God's promises of how He wants you to be the light wherever He puts you, where he wants you to shine and represent Him, you know, and have your glory. I mean, have His glory resting upon you in everything you do. Look for those passages in scripture and hold on to them in faith. You know, whether you've lost all hope, you know, trust that the word of God doesn't change, and what God said He will do, He will definitely do. You know, so I'm praying for each of you guys, and wherever you are under the sound of my voice right now, I am praying that God shows Himself in your life and that you will come back with a testimony, and that this year you will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and hold on to that faith. Because when all else fails, even if things are not looking up, the one thing that will keep you going is faith. So hold on to your faith. Trust that it will change. Trust that life has seasons, and even this season will change to a season of harvest, where now you are bearing the fruits of the seeds that you sowed. Whether you sowed in crying, in mourning, there's a verse in the Bible that says those who plant with mourning or something of that nature will reap, you know, rewards. So when you cry to God, when you have faith in God, that has rewards, you know. So hold on to God at this time, and don't give up, man. It's going to get better. I'm testament of it. I was at a place where things didn't look like they were going to get better, but they did, you know. So hold on to God and trust that He will do it for you too. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you. Amen. Thank you so, so much, guys, for joining us for our very first episode of 2026. I am praying for you guys, as I said, and I believe that God has great things in store for each of us this year, because His word says so. He wants us healed. He wants us whole. He wants to provide for us. He wants us in abundance. That's literally His will for us, you know. So don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and listen to us here on Iono, you know, and tell people about Deeply Rooted. We've grown immensely, guys. Close to 3,000 listens, you know, with like for our episodes combined. So I'm truly, truly praying for more and more growth, so that people come to know God and come to know Him as the ultimate solution and source of life in this life that we're walking on. So I hope that this was a blessing. I believe this was a blessing, and it will help everyone who got to listen to it. And until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. And before I forget, please check out other podcasts under Soweto Live. There's Taking Rams by the Horns, there's SL Cabinet, and so much more. So do check those out as well. Until next time, you're loved, you're treasured, you're precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.